This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
With a collage of arts and culture around Melbourne and beyond. Colin Armstrong, Aesthetica on Joy 94.9.
Welcome, I'm Colin Armstrong with Aesthetica on Joy 94.9. Thanks for joining me. With me as always in the studio, on the panel tonight is Mark. Hi Mark.
Hi, how are you going, Colin?
Good, thanks Mark. We've got a great show today. We've once again continuing as we did last week. We're going to be talking about some Christmas things and then also about improvisation. So to enlarge on that, Mark, we've actually got on Aesthetica, we have the very talented music director and chief conductor, Andrew Wales of the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic. And Julie Horton's in the studio also from the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic to talk about Carols in the Cathedral, which is taking place next weekend. Also joining me in the studio at a little bit later is Daniel Pavatich. And Daniel is a very interesting man, and he's going to talk about his connection with the improv conspiracy.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
As I said at the beginning of the program, it's the time of year when we start talking and hearing about what's on and around Melbourne with the Christmas festivities that are on. And I'd like to say that the magic of Carols in the Cathedral with the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic is something that is truly amazing. Nothing brings the spirit of Christmas alive like experiencing Carols in the Cathedral with the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic. Having started many years ago with one concert, demand from the public was such that after a few years, a second concert was added, and after turning people away on both nights in 2011, last year the RMP added a third concert so that nobody need miss out on this magical night of Christmas music and literature. Loosely based on the English Nine Lessons and Carols tradition, the RMP combines the best of traditional Christmas music, Christmas gospel readings with some contemporary reflections and the power of brass, percussion and pipe band. It's really very fitting that I introduce to you the music director and chief conductor of the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic, Andrew Wales. Are you there, Andrew?
I am, Colin. How are you?
Really, really well. Thank you. And I also would like to welcome in the studio is Julie Horton. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Colin.
Now, Andrew, well, you've just taken a break from rehearsals to join us, so I really appreciate that.
That's fine.
Yeah. So now tell me, Andrew, can you just give me a little bit, apart from what I've read out there, a bit about the history of Carols and how wonderful it is to the venue that you're doing it in?
Yeah, well, carols have gone back for centuries, obviously, and they've been linked to Christmas. A lot of the carols that we call carols that we're most familiar with, you know, Come All Ye Faithful and Hark the Herald Angels Sing and so on, they're actually more specifically hymns. They're actually Christmas hymns that have been sung in the Christian church for centuries. And then there are arias and songs that have been made popular, things like O Holy Night or The Little Drummer Boy, as we just heard. More recent pieces that have become sort of traditional now and are associated with Christmas. So there's a wonderful history of carols. It goes back, you know, long, long, long time. And I suppose there are two types of carols. There are the traditional ones that actually deal with what Christmas is about, i.e. the story of the baby Jesus and all the bells and whistles that come with that, whether it's the Magi or the Slaughter of the Innocents or the Star of Bethlehem and all the different stories that are connected with the story of Christmas in the Christian tradition. And then there are the sort of the secular songs that have become popular in recent times. And we try and steer clear of them in these concerts. We try and stick to the meaning, if you like, the Christian message of what Christmas is about. And whilst it's not a service, by placing that music in the context of that magnificent cathedral with all the drums and the symbology around, you know, the brass instruments in that setting, you know, resonate, and people can look around and see all those beautiful stained glass windows and the brass work and the mosaics and the tiles and the inspiring architecture. And I think it really does remind people of the meaning, a lot of the words they're singing. You know, a lot of the carols get sung and played, you know, and bastardised, for want of a better word, you know, in whether it's a lift or a shopping centre or a supermarket at Christmas. And sometimes it's nice to go back and hear them actually in a cathedral where they were designed to be performed, and to listen to them in the context of that.
I know. I totally understand what you mean there, because it wasn't at St Paul's, but it was at St Patrick's a couple of years ago. I went to a Christmas concert there, and just to sit there and listen to the Christmas music with all of that around you, with the acoustic, with the atmosphere, is just truly...
It's beautiful.
It's just, you know, really... A beautiful experience, I dare say, you'd say.
It is. It is an experience. And you know, in this busy age that we live in, people have limited time to be able to sit back and just listen sometimes and contemplate on those more reflective aspects of life. And I think with Christmas, it's such a mad frenzy. I mean, we're all running around. We're shopping for people. We're trying to buy food for the Christmas table. And we're doing all of our last-minute work and all the rest of it. And just for a couple of hours to sit down and listen to that beautiful music in that surrounding with those acoustics, and then to actually have the chance to stand up and have a bit of a sing yourself. I think it hits a note with people, and we try and recreate sort of a little bit of the tradition of the Nine Lessons and Carol Service from King's College, Cambridge, and we cross that with the big family Bach Christmas concerts from the Royal Albert Hall in London, and we cross that with a little bit of our own Australiana, with a couple of little moments that sort of reflect on contemporary society here in Australia, and try and bring that back to how it relates to Christmas. And it's a nice combination, and I think it's a nice little tradition that we've started here in Melbourne ourselves to celebrate Christmas in style.
Andrew, without talking about Julie's role in the upcoming Carols in the Cathedral, I'm going to talk to her about that in a moment, but I just wanted to highlight you've got the very talented Stephanie Gibson singing on the night, I believe, and who was also in The Messiah last week, and who I had the pleasure of interviewing last week as well.
Yeah, Stephanie's been a busy girl. And before that, of course, she was a runner-up in the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic's ARIA competition this year, and also a finalist in Herald Sun ARIA. So Stephanie's had a very busy year, and she's singing beautifully. And every year I use a couple of different voices and little cameos, if you like, within the context of the concert. We obviously have three choirs and we have various forms of accompaniment. And then it's just nice, I think, to highlight a single voice at a couple of points in the concerts to just let people refocus. And I think there's a sort of a sensory overload. I think if you hear too many of those big, magnificent carols, you sort of need to sit back and have something a little more focused and a little bit more intimate. And so Stephanie's going to sing a couple of pieces, two very contrasting pieces. One is by Benjamin Britten, the great English composer of the last century, and a beautiful piece that he wrote called the Corpus Christi Carol, which is very simple, and that'll just feature the harp and Stephanie's beautiful soprano voice. And then a favourite that everyone loves is the Cantique de Noël, O Holy Night, we know it as in English. Everyone's favourite Christmas song, I think, that one, which is a French piece which dates from the Romantic period, and that'll be a great way of showing off her more operatic voice. So, yeah, Stephanie will make a beautiful contribution to the concert. And I think, you know, those moments... so for everyone that comes to the concerts, I try and create a moment, you know, a special moment, whether it's everyone's got their own favourite carol or whether it's the tradition of the children singing once in Royal David City or whether it's the great fanfares or whether it's that quiet, reflective moment where the harp plays while the words are spoken or whether it's, you know, the idea of 1,000 people singing together, Fortissimo and O Come All Ye Faithful. They're all little moments that to different people mean something and that create a special moment for them for Christmas. And I think that's what the concert's really all about. It's about bringing together as much of this wonderful music as possible and giving people a special moment for Christmas.
Yeah, and it's always nice to have something that they can take away. Now, if I can ask Julie, thanks for joining us in the studio here at Joy 94.9. Julie, it's really a pleasure to meet you and see you today. Now, your role working with Royal Melbourne Philharmonic for Carols in the Cathedral, I believe you and Roland Rocchicelli have got special roles within the performance. Would you like to tell me about that?
Oh, I'd love to. Roland and I are both trained as professional actors, and Andrew had an idea a few years ago that it would be lovely perhaps to have a couple of actors bringing the gospel readings to life. And we're also both journalists, Roland and myself, would we like to write something about the experience of Christmas? So Roland always writes something, and he's got a wonderful way of writing for himself, and he's often quite controversial, which is a really good idea. He challenges people, and he's got such a beautiful voice and such wonderful delivery that people do hang off his every word. So I'm not sure what he's doing this year, but it'll be worth listening to. And of course, he's doing gospel readings. And I also do a couple of gospel readings, and I write a reflection. The last couple of years it's been on an Australian Christmas and the great W.G. James, author of Christmas Day and those sort of carols. This year I've decided to go back to what life was like when the cathedral was being built, when England was home to those of us who lived here. So I'll be exploring what Noel Coward and John Betjeman thought about Christmas, and I think I might get a few laughs along the way.
I think that sounds wonderful. It's such a shame that I actually will be out of Melbourne and I won't be able to witness that. And that must, it must be really a fabulous experience to be at carols in the cathedral with amazing music, and of course the very talented Andrew Wales with his with the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to work for Andrew. I have to say that because he's my boss, but it really is. He produces a wonderful result. And I think one of the terrific things that Andrew manages to achieve with these concerts is they're accessible to people of faith and people of none. Mm-hmm. We're creating a magical, theatrical, musical experience for you to take whatever you want from it, some quiet time, like Andrew said, or simply immerse yourself in beautiful music. Mm-hmm. And I think people go away feeling uplifted. That's the feedback that we get. And that's why, of course, we had to go to three concerts, because people want this experience. You don't get it in life. And here it is for you. And we love people to applaud, as Andrew always explains. So it's not like being in a church, but you get all the benefits and the lovely feelings.
Yeah. And I think, if I may say, Andrew, it's really nice to know that there's going to be some really some musical carols that we're not going to know, because I think often, it's like you said in the intro, that that often we just think of this, carols that we're brought up with.
That's right.
As our parents played for us, maybe, and therefore, but it's really nice to see all this alternative.
I think there's a wonderful history, and the hardest thing that I find about these concerts every year is knowing what to leave out more than what to include. Mm. There's so much music, but I try and keep... I have a little sort of, I suppose it's like a recipe every year, and I try and keep about one half of the concert is the same. So there's a familiarity that people really want to hear, O Come All Ye Faithful, and they really want to hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Those great moments that are iconic that they sort of associate with Christmas. You know, it's not Christmas until they've sung the descant in the sixth verse of O Come All Ye Faithful. So I try and keep about half the concert the same, and then about a quarter of the concert I try and make a little bit unusual, whether it be a cameo performance by a soloist or an unfamiliar piece or something sung in a foreign language, something that people probably haven't heard before, if ever. Mm-hmm. And then about a quarter of it I try and mix up with carols that people love but that maybe we don't do every year. So, for example, this year we'll hear something, for example, The Little Drummer Boy, which is a beautiful carol, which deserves a place in there somewhere, but we wouldn't do it necessarily every year.
No.
We're also going to sing a beautiful setting of the Coventry Carol, Luli Lula Lulay, which is, again, a carol that often gets overlooked these days in favour of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or a song, you know, like Jingle Bells, which really has no relevance to either Christmas or particularly Christianity or anything to do with Christmas in Australia. It's a song, you know, which is about a horse and a guy taking a girl out ice skating in America in winter. And, you know, it's about horses and cows and people, you know, jumping into sleighs and the sound of the bells on the sleigh. It doesn't have anything really to do with us. And so there'll also be a few Australian pieces in there that just remind us that, you know, we celebrate Christmas in the middle of a blazing summer. And so those wonderful words of John Wheeler's, for example, you know, the north wind is tossing the leaves, the red dust is over the town, the sparrows are under the eaves and the grass in the paddock is brown. I mean, they haven't heard of a brown paddock in Europe in winter.
Well, of course not, no.
And I think that's lovely too. So we try and cover a lot of territory, and I think it's a good recipe. It seems to work. The cake rises every year.
Andrew, I'm going to ask Julie in just a moment about times and location and tickets, but can I just, before I ask Julie that, I believe that only a matter of days after... hours after Carols in the Cathedral, you have a very special trip planned.
Yes, I'll actually be leaving about 4 hours after the last concert on the Saturday night. I'll be heading to pack up a large van full of equipment and head to the airport to lead the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic Orchestra to China. We'll be performing a series of 10 or 11 concerts in China, beginning the very next day. So we'll be on the flight, I think, at 4 a.m. I think to Shanghai, and then we transfer up to Hefei, and then a few days later, the Australian Children's Choir, who are singing in the carols in the cathedral, they'll join the orchestra in Xining, in Inner Mongolia, and they'll then follow the orchestra and perform with the orchestra in the rest of the concerts. We're going to let them stay at home for Christmas so they can be with their mums and dads and brothers and sisters, but then Boxing Day, first thing, they'll be off to China too, so they're very excited. So, yes, it's a very very exciting time, but there'll be something, I think, of a relief when I hear those bells ring out at the end of the last descant after the Herald Angels finishes. I'll be thinking to myself, now I've got 4 hours to get changed and get this van packed and get to the airport. So it'll be a busy time, but it'll be a wonderful way to end the year in Australia.
What an amazing thing to be able to take the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic to China. I think that's fantastic.
It'll be good fun.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll get to talk to you early next year and we can see how it went. Julie, can you tell me times and location? Well, we know the location, but...
I've just been waiting to do that. Thank you, Colin. yes, now, Friday the 20th of December, we start at 8:30, so that gives people a chance to have a meal and relax after work and toddle on to the cathedral. Saturday the 21st of December, we have two times. We have a matinee at 3 o'clock and then we have an evening performance at 8 o'clock. And if you'd like to book, the easiest way is to hop
through
online.
Ticketmaster.
You can certainly do Ticketmaster, ticketmaster.com.au or ring 136100. But trybooking.com is an excellent way to book as well if you're watching your pennies at Christmas too. Mm-hmm. So either of those, trybooking.com or Ticketmaster, or you can take your chances at the door, but it does get a bit packed. If you can pre-book, that's always best.
Fantastic. This afternoon on Aesthetica on Joy 94.9, we've had Julie Horton and Andrew Wales in to talk about carols in the cathedral. There'll be some postings on Aesthetica's social media pages shortly. Andrew, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you again. This is my third time I think late this year I've had the pleasure to talk to you, and it's always a delight. And thank you so much for talking with us about Carols in the Cathedral. I wish you a great three concerts there, or three performances, and a very safe travel to China and back.
Thanks, Colin. It's always lovely having a chat. And yes, we're looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll come back safely, and hopefully you'll have a great Christmas too, and everyone listening. I hope it's not too hot.
Yes.
It certainly won't be in China.
No. And Julie Horton, thank you so much for coming in.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks, Julie.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're with Colin Armstrong on Joy 94.9 with Aesthetica. And next week, I just wanted to talk about next week's show. Aesthetica is going on the road. And Mark will be here in the studio, Mark, won't you?
I definitely will. I'll be taking the home turf in Melbourne.
Thank you. And I'm actually going to check out arts and culture in the top end of Australia in Darwin. And providing that we have everything working technologically, actually. I will be on the line with Mark and talking about what's happening there. So it'll be great, Mark. It's going to be a great show.
And as you said, if things go awry with the phone, we might have a lot of music next week, but we should be fine.
We'll be fine. Now, it's also a pleasure to have in the Joy 94.9 studio today, and I've also got someone on the line as well. We're here to talk about film improvisation and about the improv conspiracy. My name in the studio, I've got Dan Pavetich, and on the line, I actually have Marcus Willis. So, welcome, Dan.
Hey, thanks. Great to be here, Colin.
Yeah, it's good to have you in the studio as well. And Marcus.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Now, good.
That's good. Now, you've both been performing or improvising for approximately 2 years. And I believe, so tell me about, perhaps Dan, about what that is.
Yeah, great. So it's, in many ways, it's acting without a script.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is a little bit different to other forms of improvisation people might have seen. People are very familiar with Whose Line Is It Anyway and that sort of thing, which is here's an idea, play that little game for a little while, then we cut to maybe Drew Carey and do something else. What we do is we get on stage and we tell a story or explore an idea for 30 minutes. So it's less about how do you play within a specific rule and more about how do I explore an idea with a bunch of what is great actors in Melbourne. We have great improvisers here.
And in and Marcus, your role with within this?
Yeah, well, Dan and I work together with the film format and also with the improv conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just about having fun and, being silly in a place where we can all support each other and, as Dan said, telling a story.
And I think that's really important. I mean, to be able to tell that story, have a great time, and I dare say audiences that see that, take that away as well and enjoy everyone enjoying themselves. So on the night when you're performing,
yep.
How does that work?
Yeah.
You just make a suggestion or...?
We take a title from the audience. So some examples, we got Three Men Flying, The Plastic Man, An Elephant in Paris... And as an example, the Plastic Man was almost a parody of RoboCop,
mm-hmm.
except he was made out of plastic,
mm-hmm.
Which was interesting. Three Men Flying was Top Gun.
Oh, yes.
So the comedy comes from people knowing, getting what we're referring to. And the challenge is definitely having fun with it, but working out as a group, all right, what film are we calling back to?
Mm-hmm.
Three Men Flying is maybe obvious, but... some less so.
Yeah, no, and I suppose the other thing about that, and possibly Marcus, is that you never know what you're going to do, because mm-hmm. it's all very well to be able to, if you're an actor, to get a script and you know exactly when you're coming on and what you're saying and what line you're going to deliver and you can rehearse it and you're never going to make a mistake,
yeah.
Hopefully. But with you guys, it's just, get given a few ideas and you've got to take it from there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Marcus, sorry?
It's so scary, but also a great feeling to walk on a stage with having absolutely nothing, like you said. But like some of the titles that Dan just said, people are so inventive.
Mm-hmm.
So what a great suggestion, Plastic Man or Three Men Flying. So we get so much joy from that. The audience can say anything and we get to create something that we didn't know could ever exist.
Yeah, and I think that, Marcus, and I know that we've got you on the line. So earlier, before we came to air, I was talking to Dan about recently we've had the group Impromptunes on Aesthetica, and I dare say that, you're probably both lots of improvisation people, and out of that, the point is that I was quite amazed. I had to give them titles and how they or suggestions for something and how they came up with it, and they performed live in the studio. But it's just amazing. And I think, and I haven't seen you perform, but I'm sure it's correct, it's the creativity in the imagination on the occasion that gets you through. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's so right. There's just like an electric kind of X factor in the room where you don't know what's going to happen, and that keeps you moving forward because you're terrified and excited and having fun at the same time.
And I dare say that you've got to you get to know each other really, really well, Dan. And oh, so yeah. And saying that, and when you know each other well, you almost know perhaps what that person's going to do or be or say.
Yeah, you definitely, as you get to know people, you get a better feel for what they're doing. But a lot of it works off, there's a very simple idea we all believe, which is called yes and. So everything you say to me, everything you imply, I absolutely agree is real and add my own piece to it.
Right.
So it's kind of bring a brick, not a cathedral, and we build something bigger than we could on our own.
Yeah, which is just amazing. Now, is it true that earlier in the year you were overseas?
Yeah, we
in
were
Chicago?
In Chicago.
So tell me about that.
Every year the Improv Olympic runs a summer intensive mm-hmm. or summer camp, and people from approximately 140 people go over there from Estonia to Spain to everywhere you can imagine. They come across and train at the IO because it's known to be one of the best schools.
And you just work together there, workshop together, I dare say?
Yeah, so they have five levels of training you go through, and it's where people the likes of Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, you know, Chris Farley, a lot of the greats trained there. So it was great to be able to go through the same training, meet people who knew them and taught them and have their experience.
And Marcus, you were there as well?
Yeah. As Dan said earlier, like, we have a lot of great improvisers in Melbourne, but Chicago's like the next level because there's five shows a night, every night of the week, and it's just an incredible feeling. You learn so much in such a short period of time. So, we love that. We really want to go back.
And I dare say, too, it's so great having people from around the world. Not only are you learning about different cultures, you're learning about different improvisation, you're learning about different characters, people, all of that, which is just such a great learning tool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even though there's definitely different styles and different approaches, we all agree that we have to agree to make it work.
Yeah.
And that means you can perform with anyone, literally anyone.
Yeah. And now I believe that the format, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that the format was developed for the Improv Olympics was developed by a comedy and improv legend, Del Close. And he's famous for being not only an amazing comedian, genius, actor and improviser, as well as an inspiration to a lot of great comedians. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. So Del was an actor and writer and all those things you said, but trained a lot of the people you know today. Also performed with Second City, which is a massive, massive thing, and directed some of their best shows and established what some people believe to be the basics of long-form improvisation.
Yeah, so he certainly left a legacy there. Yeah. With I mean, when you look at the amount of names that have either trained with him or worked with him, who are just amazing actors and comedians today that we probably see there, just amazing. And he died in 1999, but he certainly left a great legacy for improv, I would say.
Yeah, and even when you study at the Improv Olympic, his ashes are on the wall.
Okay.
So that they still want his influence to be on the work.
Cool.
Because he was such a, I guess, moral compass to what they do there.
Yeah, that's just amazing. And Marcus, the shows, I believe recently you've had something, but anything coming up in, I understand it, late this year, but anything in 2014 you've got planned or...? Can we talk about
The improv
if we're allowed to talk about it?
Oh, definitely. From January 22nd, the Improv Conspiracy kicks off our weekly shows now.
Okay.
Which is at the Dan O'Connell. So Dan and I and a whole bunch of super talented improvisers will be there every single week on a Wednesday night, and also in the Comedy Festival coming up next year in March.
Oh, absolutely! That sounds to be part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. That's a really great thing. So, January, where are you performing? Starting from in January
at the Dan O'Connell in Carlton.
I beg your pardon. Yes, you did say that. Sorry. And that's the Improv Conspiracy Weekly. That's going to be.
Exactly right.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, well, that, you know, it's, I think that to have, I think to have the talent and to be able to just improvise. I mean, we're very good at, you know, anyone can talk and say things and do things, but to just put a show together, I suppose, in the words of Impromptunes, it's a film that sort of opens and closes in one night, like their show opens and closes in one night. Mm-hmm. And if you do a really great performance, you can't take it on to the next night or play it again next week, can you?
Yeah, exactly, definitely not. But that's a part of the charm of it. We, you know, Dan and I speak about shows we did a year and a half ago and still remember it line from line, but that's the beauty of it, that it'll never happen again, but we always remember that.
But it's great to remember those performances, those fabulous performances that you do. And I do say that gives you the challenge to move forward and just try any, you know, continue to work on it and do more. Yeah. So, well, I wish you well with January. And if you want to pop back and talk about it early in 2014, certainly you're welcome back in the studio to do that. There's, we'd love to be able to talk to you about that again. In the studio, Marcus.
I was just saying thank you.
Oh, that's okay. In the studio tonight, I've had Dan Pavetich, and I have had on the line Marcus Willis, and they've been talking about the improv conspiracy. So certainly keep an eye out for that early in the new year, and it'll be absolutely fantastic. So I thank you both for joining Aesthetica on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with Colin Armstrong on Joy 94.9 with Aesthetica. Recently, I had the pleasure of, this season, I actually had the pleasure of going to the Brandenburg, the Australian Brandenburg Orchestra and Choir, which was on down at the Melbourne Recital Centre. And I just wanted to talk to you about it because it was just the most amazing concert. It was called Noel Noel, and it was really a beautiful concert. And I think the Australian Brandenburg Orchestra is one to keep in mind whenever you know that they're in town. On this particular evening, Max Riebel was the countertenor, and he was the soloist. And all I can say that if you ever get the opportunity to see Max, please go along and see him. He did the most beautiful rendition of Somewhere Over the Rainbow that just brought tingles and almost was very emotive. It was just the most beautiful performance I think that I have seen. And so it was just amazing. And so that was on just a little while ago. And recently we had Evan Lawson also on, and we talked to Evan about the opera he'd composed for the Forest Collective. And it was on out at the Abbotsford Convent, and the most beautiful location for it, and it was Calypso, and it was another great performance. Evan announced on the night that they will be performing early in the new year, early in 2014, at the Melbourne Recital Centre. So that's really something to keep an eye out for as well when Forest Collective go down to the Melbourne Recital Centre, which is a great venue and some great acoustics there. So I know Evan and the team from the Forest Collective are really looking forward to doing that. And coming up this week, of course, as we head towards the weekend, as we've spoken to Andrew and Julie today on Aesthetica, don't forget Carols in the Cathedral, which is they're doing three performances. It always gets to be a busy time of year with everything else, as Andrew explained earlier in the program. But if you can take some time out and listen to the Royal Melbourne Philharmonic, it is really well worth listening to. You're on Joy 94.9.
Colin Armstrong on Joy 94.9.
You're on Aesthetica, and it's really great to also be able to take Aesthetica on the road next week. I'm actually going to be in Darwin to investigate some culture at the top end. And I will be broadcasting live with the aid of technology with Mark in the studio here. So I do hope you can join us then for Aesthetica. It will really be, I want to see what's happening in Darwin. And I'm hoping to get some interviews there for you as well. So that will be a really good program. It's been a delight to work with you, be with you up until talk about the Christmas. And as I said, to have Andrew Wales, and then we had last week, we actually talked about Handel's Messiah. It's a busy time of year, but it's never too busy to enjoy some arts and culture around Melbourne and beyond.
With a collage of arts and culture around Melbourne and beyond, Colin Armstrong, Aesthetica on Joy 94.9.
As I said, if you want to catch up with what Daniel Pavicich is doing in the Improv Conspiracy, they return onto the scene late January, and they're going to hopefully pop back and see us, but they're going to also let me know so I can let you know where they're performing. And that's improvisation by film, and so that's really quite interesting. I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight. Thanks, Mark, for being on the panel.
That's all right. Thank you, Colin.
And as I said, next week we'll be coming live from Darwin. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.